Hi there, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast with me, Russell Davis. This fertility journey can put a strain on the best of relationships, whether it's causing a strain or disconnection with friends and family, or even your partner. In this week's episode, we're going to dive in and see what you can do to maintain a connection with your relationships and to foster even a greater connection while navigating this emotional roller coaster. So let's dive in and find out what you can do to create greater connection. Another requested subject was to explore the impact on relationships that this fertility journey can have. And like all my kind of content, really, it's not really about fertility, it's about life. So it's almost the impact on relationships when you've got challenging, difficult things going on in life. And on this fertility journey, I think it can impact even the best of relationships. It can put a strain on the best of relationships, whether that's kind of romantic relationships, relationship with your partner, or even friends and family. And just touching on friends and family, it's like, yeah, sometimes you find you start avoiding people or avoiding events and distancing yourself from people, which can be difficult. And with your partner, I know looking back at my own experience, I very much thought I need to be the strong one for my wife and didn't really, guess, express my emotions. It's not the only reason. I had a very distant relationship with my emotions even before infertility, but it didn't help. And so I didn't really share my emotions. Also, I thought maybe it wouldn't help my wife if I kind of was sharing my emotion. I need to be the strong one for her and took on that kind of role, which meant I was more kind of closed. And about 8 years into our journey, she told me how lonely she felt on the journey. I was really quite shocked with that, because I thought I was quite hands-on. I went to all the appointments, we talked about things, but it was very much from a place of what I thought and not how I felt. And particularly the feminine, that communicates by emotion, it wants to feel heard, seen and felt and heard, you know, to be understood. And then feminine wants to understand their man emotionally or their partner emotionally, how they're feeling. So that emotional understanding may not be as we always agree or have the same emotional experience. It's about understanding each other emotionally. And some of the women I work with say that, yeah, they feel lonely in their relationship at times, but also they feel they're taking the burden of Project Baby. They're the ones that really are pushing things through, or striving, or taking more responsibility for the nutrition, their lifestyle, and often their partner isn't. And that can be a source of kind of disconnection and sometimes kind of conflict. And I think whether it's friends and family or our loved ones, or even our partner, there's a couple of things that come to mind. You know, how can we move from disconnection? Because that's what often happens on this journey. We begin to feel disconnected, or even have conflict, but at best disconnection. How we move from disconnection to connection? How can we maintain connection or re-establish connection? How can we stop this kind of journey, the journey we're on, Project Baby, really contaminating even our relationships? Well, three things come to mind. One is expectations. Expectations are quite toxic in a way. They're a form of thinking, they're future thinking. And the problem with expectations are that it leads you to have far more experiences of disillusionment or frustration, and it takes away the opportunity to have appreciation. I'll give you a very minor, kind of silly example in a way that, you know, imagine a couple get together and they move in together. And every morning one of them gets up in the morning and makes a cup of tea, and they enjoy a cup of tea in bed before they start their day. And the other one really appreciates this, especially the cold, dark mornings. The moment it becomes an expectation, the appreciation disappears. Because I expected the cup of tea, and I got the cup of tea because I expected it. There's no appreciation. The moment it becomes an expectation, it doesn't happen. There can be some disappointment or frustration. You see, expectations do remove the opportunity for appreciation. Another kind of silly example, imagine you go away for a week, maybe with business, not so much with kind of COVID in the moment, but imagine you have gone away for a week for whatever reason, and you come back home, and you put the key in the door, and you have an expectation of how tidy your house or flat or place is going to be, having had your partner live there alone for a week. Again, if there's an expectation of how tidy it's going to be, you're missing out the opportunity for appreciation and having far more opportunity for frustration or disappointment. So just being aware of expectations you have on others, expectations for them to understand you, to behave in a certain way, to say a certain thing. And expectations are unspoken agreements. Expectations are unspoken agreements. And sometimes we have expectations on life, but we can't really have an agreement with life. We have expectations on how others behave or what they say, and we can't have an agreement of everything they're going to say or do. And sometimes we have expectations on ourselves. And if we have expectations on ourselves, you may not be aware that we unconsciously project expectations onto others. Just be mindful of expectations and see how we can let those go. And let go of expectations, and maybe you might be surprised how you have more experiences of appreciation with friends and family and your partner. Another one is looking at how we take things personally or not recognizing we actually all think differently. So when friends or family, when our partner says something that's not helpful or doesn't do something you think would have been helpful, that can trigger an emotional response within us. But what the emotional response is failing to see is we all live in our own model of the world. We all have our own version of reality in our head. It makes complete sense to us. So people say things or do things because it makes sense to them. It may not make sense to us. We may not understand why they've said that, why they've done that, why they're not doing X, Y, Z. It may be completely illogical to us given the circumstances. We're looking at the circumstances through our lens, through our filter, through our thinking. That makes complete sense to us. And we forget we do that. We forget that we're not living in reality. We're living in our perception of reality. And so is everyone else. There are about 7 billion versions of reality out there. And somehow we forget that people have their own thinking. It makes sense to them, may not make sense to us, and people can't think like us all the time because they're not us. And when someone says something and we forget that, we're more likely to take it personally. I guess it's a link to expectations because we expect them to understand. Well, actually, when they're living in their model of the world, they may not understand. So it's about recognizing people say things that make sense to them. And there's often comes from a heart-centered place. They're often well-meaning. Maybe it's coming from a place of fear. Maybe our partners aren't doing as much as they could do to get healthy or focus on Project Baby, but there's an unconscious reason for that. Part of them maybe is protecting them from playing full out because it means if they fail, they know that unconsciously they didn't play full out. So they can't necessarily dive in or experience that feeling of failure so. Maybe it's protecting them from the fear of failure. Maybe it's whatever it may be. There's some logical thinking unconsciously that is creating their experience. Everyone is doing the best they can with the resources they're available. We do the same. We do the best we can with the resources we're available. And that includes thinking. That includes state of mind. It doesn't mean they can't be different. It doesn't mean they can't do better. It doesn't mean they have the potential to change. It means in any given moment, they're doing their best. Because if they could have done different, they would have done different. It's like even if someone runs a race. So I've worked with kind of athletes and and say, well, you did your best. I say, well, I know, I know I can do better. Well, actually, in that moment, you did your best. Otherwise, you would have done better. And any given moment, we do our best with the resources, the state of mind, the thinking, our feelings we have in that moment. Doesn't mean we can't be different or can't do better. But we're living from our model of the world, our reality in that moment. And that's what we're experiencing in that moment. It becomes reality. So we respond from that thought-created reality in the moment. And the more we recognize everyone's doing the same, it means we can start to take things less personally. We can know their behavior is not actually about us. It's not about how much they want to take this seriously or not. It's just their thinking in that moment. And the third one is recognizing, and I've mentioned this before in a podcast, and how we create our partner more than we think. I guess we create our friends more than I think. If I'm going to use an example from your partner, because we have a more influence over our partner than we do our friends and family, but we'll be creating them to a certain degree by how we show up. And I've used this example before, and I'm going to share it again, when I gave my wife a gift. And I took the response wasn't how I thought I wanted it to be. It wasn't kind of a hug and a kiss. And I realized actually it was my thinking that created that. My fear of rejection meant I didn't show up fully in that exchange. I was emotionally kind of hiding. And it's about recognizing that actually we create the response in there more than we think. I just recognize that the background noise has started, so I hope it's okay. But as I said before, this is life. I'm talking about real life, and noise happens in life. So it's about recognizing we evoke a response more than we think. I once worked with someone whose partner was actually an alcoholic, and most of their exchanges was quite aggressive. I wouldn't say physically violent, but verbally violent and very aggressive. And I helped her see that actually, what is she creating in that? How is she creating that? And she realized she expects a fight. Even before she opens her mouth, she expects a fight. So she talks from a very defensive place, even her tone of voice. So it's more likely to evoke a defensive response. I'm not saying that a partner shouldn't take responsibility for his drinking and how he's showing up, but we need to take 100% responsibility for how we are showing up. And the more we do that, it's really surprising how a partner changes for the better, for more how we want them to be. I've been going through that again, just realizing how much I create my partner by how I show up. And it's quite tough. It's quite often quite a bitter pill to recognize, but it's about anything about personal change. And I think even in a relationship, it starts with brutal honesty. And that's just the bin men leaving. So chucking, letting the rubbish go. This is about letting the rubbish go, letting the things that don't serve you go, the stories you bring into it, letting those go. And you can't let them go until we recognize them. I couldn't show up differently with my wife until I recognized how I hid when I gave her a gift. I emotionally didn't want to be vulnerable. Didn't want to express what I was communicating through that gift, even flowers. And not just in those moments, I realized often I just slightly reserved because my unconscious mind, the little boy in me, is scared of getting hurt. Even after all these years, it's just a habit. It's just a habit. The more we recognize it, the more we recognize what we're bringing into it, it can evoke something different in them. So a question you can ask is, okay, how am I creating this? How am I creating this? And get brutally honest with yourself. You might be really surprised what insights you get, and the subtle changes in how you show up evokes a different response in them. So letting go of expectations, recognizing we all live in different models of the world, and seeing what you're creating in that dynamic, how are you showing up that's evoking that, that can empower you to begin to change the dynamic for the better and begin to move things forward to have more connection, more moments of connection. I hope it's been useful. Reach out anytime. I'm here to serve you. Loving you.